of heights to the depths of the sea.
So the church, made up of Jew and Gentile, this is when the church experiences the resurrection. That's what the rapture is. It's the resurrection.
From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Today, Pastor Rob begins a four-part series on the rapture of the church and how those who believe in Jesus Christ will be taken up to be with the Lord. He begins with a scripture from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23. Where the Apostle Paul explains Christ's resurrection and how it points to the church's resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ also anticipates our resurrection because we will be raised with a body like his. As in the first fruits offered to God, the Jews were assured of God's blessing on the whole harvest. So by the resurrection of Christ, our resurrection is assured. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he begins this important message.
I'm going to look at something tonight that we haven't really talked about in a while. We've talked about the rapture quite often, especially as we went through the book of Revelation and other areas of the scripture. We have looked at this in great detail. But one of the things that I haven't really shared with you there's a couple other different views of the rapture. And I'd like to go through just those tonight at a very high level, meaning time didn't really permit me to spend a great deal of time on this tonight. I'm filling in for Pastor David. But I think what I'm going to share with you is as much as lies within me, I believe it's true. And it's accurate, but it's not as in-depth as I would like it to be. And that's okay, because I think we just need to have an understanding of these different views of the rapture. What it is. What is the rapture? So let's actually just get right into it. What is the rapture of the church? The rapture of the church is when the church, made up of Jew and Gentile, we know that the church is an entity that was formed and when Jesus died and was resurrected, the church was born in Jerusalem, and the church was originally Jewish people. And then as the Jews went out and spread that good news of the gospel, many other peoples of nations, Gentiles, came to know, especially the Apostle Paul was instrumental in sharing that gospel to the Gentiles, and Peter was to the Jews. And so the church is made up of anybody, really, at this point, because there's Jews and there's Gentiles. And so many of us in this room, some of you may be Jews and the rest of us are Gentiles. I don't have any ounce of Jewish blood in me. I wish I did, but I don't, so I have to live with that. But anyway, we know that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile in reality. So the church, made up of Jew and Gentile, this is when the church experiences the resurrection. That's what the rapture is. It's the resurrection. If you remember in, let me just go there. You don't have to go there necessarily because I can read it to you, but I just remembered this. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, Paul, he said this. He said, but Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And he gives us a really wonderful verse here. He says, but each one in his own order. Notice, Christ, the first fruits, and then afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. And I think that, I believe that that Christ's at his coming could mean, certainly, the foremost context of that is the rapture of the church, because we know that Jesus was raised from the dead in a resurrection body, and so we know that he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And then there's three different waves of this resurrection: Christ the first fruits, and then those who are Christ at his coming. So when Jesus comes for us in the rapture of the church, then those who are dead in Christ will rise, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be with him for all there always. But there's also another resurrection that the Bible speaks of that is part of this first resurrection, if you will. It's called the first resurrection, but there's three different waves to it: Christ the first fruits, the church at the rapture, and then after the tribulation period, at the very beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. The Old Testament saints will be resurrected, and we'll look at that tonight. So that's what the rapture of the church is, but there's some differences on what the rapture really is. And so where does the word, and we'll get into that, where does the word rapture come from? Well, you won't find it in any Bible. In any English Bible, you won't find the word rapture anywhere. And you guys are schooled enough to know that I didn't hear any gasps of, you know, are you kidding me? You guys have been telling us about the rapture and it's not anywhere in the Bible? No, the word rapture is not in the English Bible because it's a Latin word. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, this is going to be a review for most of us. And then we'll get into the three different views. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, writing to them, beginning in verse 13. This is a critical verse for you to know, because if somebody ever comes to you and says, show me in the Bible where the rapture is, well, you're not going to find the word rapture. So if you try to do a study in a electronic, you know, Bible app or something, you're not going to find it. And I'll share why that is so. But the action itself, the subject of the rapture is in a number of places. And it's something that Jesus taught. It's something that Paul taught. And it's something that we know to be true and is coming yet for us. But notice in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. In other words, those who have already died in Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, notice in this verse, this is not Paul's opinion now. Notice this word, and you might even want to underline it. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is something that Jesus himself had revealed to Paul. You remember when Paul was saved, when he was saved there on the road to Damascus, that he was in Damascus for a short time, and then at some point he just disappeared for like 3 years. And into Arabia. And it was during that time, we believe, that God revealed a great deal to the Apostle Paul concerning the things of the end times and doctrine concerning the church, really. But notice in verse 15, for this we say to you, notice again, by the word of the Lord, not his opinion, the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or have died in Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Notice that, the order of it. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Notice that where we go, Jesus here in the rapture is not coming to the earth physically. He's going to meet us in the clouds. He's going to meet us there, but we are going to be transformed. We'll look at that in a little bit. So we will, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, notice, in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And I love he ends it, the verse in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. And to me, that is a great comfort, because I know that the end of this craziness in this world is coming to an end for the church. Before all hell breaks loose in the great tribulation period, and I mean that, before that occurs, the church must be removed. And I believe that, and that's a pre-tribulation viewpoint. And from this pulpit for the last 30-some years, that has been taught. That has been, and there's good reason for that. And we're going to look at the other views too, because you can make your own decisions about how you believe about this. But I believe that viewpoint is the most accurate. I believe it adds up to all of the types in the Bible. The very character of God is representative in this view. And it just so happens to agree with what I'm hoping for as well, because I don't want to be here and suffer the wrath of God. Because if Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and there's no reason for me, for us, the church, to go through his wrath. Follow me? Because if the wrath of God was poured out on Christ for my sin and your sin, then there's no reason for him to drag me through the tribulation period, to drag the church through the tribulation period, to drag the bride of Christ through the great tribulation, which is his wrath. Why would he do that to his bride? And the simple answer is, he won't. How many of you guys want to drag your wife on your wedding night through a bunch of trials and tribulations? And you wouldn't do that, because you love your bride. You've purchased your bride at the altar, in a sense. You put the ring on her finger. You didn't purchase her, you know. Hopefully not. But you know, you've won her love. And you purchased her love, in a sense, by your love for her as well. So, but go back to verse 17, because here's where the word rapture comes from. Look at the word, the phrase, caught up. Underline those two words, caught up, because it's a verb. The word caught up in our English Bible is, in the Greek, it's called harpazo. Okay? Harpazo. And that literally means to seize, to catch, to pluck, pull, to take by force violently and rapidly. That's what the word means. Harpazo. That's what it means in the Greek. Now, you may be asking, well, that's all nice, but what about the word rapture? Well, in the Latin Vulgate, which was translated, the Bible was translated into Latin from the Greek by Jerome in around 382 AD. And so when he came to this verse, he translated this Greek word, harpazo, into a Latin word, which is rapiamir, or rapio, or raptus. And that's where we get our word rapture from. Our English word rapture literally means that. It means exactly what it means in the Greek and also in the Latin. So that's where we get the term rapture. It's nowhere found in any English Bible, but if you were to read the Latin Vulgate, you would see rapiamir or raptus there for that specific word. And that's why we call it the rapture, because it's an action. It's a verb, which means to violently snatch up off the earth. And see, that sounds... violent to us, but it's not going to be, because the Lord is gentle, and when he does things, he can do things just like this. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, as we'll look at later, he does it in a twinkling of an eye. And so this word is where we get our word rapture from. But I want to read a verse to you before we get into this, and that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. This is one of those verses that I've committed to memory, and I would encourage you to commit it to memory too. And the reason being is because the rapture is dependent upon this thought, this thought of God, this heart of God. And what is the verse? For God did not appoint us. And now you got to remember, Paul, writing this letter to the Thessalonians, notice he's including himself in this. He says, for the Lord, for God has not appointed us, including himself, to wrath, meaning his wrath. Are we appointed to persecution? Absolutely. Jesus told us that if you are appointed to suffer persecution as a Christian. You're going to suffer persecution. It's just a question of how much. You may just get a name called. You may be belittled by your friends. You may be whatever. But in the first century, they were actually hunted down by the Romans and killed. They were fed to lions. I've been in the Colosseums where they fed Christians to the lions. And all the Romans were around in the seats watching this sport as they put out this poor Christian, and he's running around and the lions are going after him, and they finally tear into him and just eat him right there in front of everybody. And that's entertainment for them. That's real persecution. I haven't experienced that kind of persecution, and hopefully none of us will. For God did not appoint us to wrath, his wrath. His wrath and man's wrath are two different things. You follow me? I'm going to suffer persecution at the hand of man, but as far as the wrath of God, I'm not going to experience that, and neither will you as the church, because, again, Jesus already took that punishment, God's wrath for our sin upon his Son once and for all. So he doesn't need to judge us any longer, and he doesn't need to pour out his wrath on us. But he did do this, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and there it is. So remember that as we discuss these three different views, and I've already shared with you my opinion, but we're going to look at these three different views, and you can make your own decision. And I'm obviously going to be pretty biased, I'll be honest with you, because one of them makes no sense. The other one, they have to stretch it, and one fits in like a nice piece puzzle into a puzzle box. And that's the pre-trib rapture. But the Thessalonian church, Paul wrote this letter, these letters to them, because they were confused, because Paul had taught them a pre-tribulation rapture, meaning a pre-tribulation rapture means that before the tribulation happens, that the Lord will rapture his church. That's all a pre-tribulation rapture means. It means before the tribulation period occurs, God comes for his own and takes her to heaven with him. But after Paul taught them that, there were certain people, deceivers, that had come in after Paul, and they had confused the people by telling them that they had missed this monumental thing. They'd missed the rapture of the church, and now they were going through the tribulation period. And it would seem that they were, from their perspective, because you got to understand, it's all relative. Because remember, the first century church was under great persecution, unlike anything we've seen. So they, as soon as they started receiving this persecution, they began to get really troubled about what Paul was saying. And especially after someone came in after Paul and says, oh, you guys missed the rapture, you're not really saved. Now you're going through the great tribulation period. And so naturally people are upset, they're concerned, they're like, what is going on? So Paul writes this letter to clear that issue up once and for all. And so we'll look more at that verse later on. But this is in Israel, in the Bible, is referred to as the wife of Jehovah. Throughout the Bible, the prophets, the wife of Jehovah is Israel. But the church in the New Testament is referred to as the bride of Christ, which we are. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are part of the bride of Christ. And some believe that the church must go through this great tribulation period or God's wrath in order to be purified. Does that sound right to you? It really doesn't to me. But there are people who believe that, and they can believe that if they want. I believe they're wrong, and we can still love them. We're all going to heaven, okay? The main thing is that we believe in Jesus. So these differences that I'm going to be sharing with you are not things that are going to determine whether somebody, a Christian, goes to heaven or hell. They're going to heaven. It's just that we have a disagreement on some of these things. But again, if the church needs to go through the tribulation period, which is God's wrath, does everybody understand what I mean by that? I know when we were in Revelation, we went through this, but the tribulation period is those chapters in the book of Revelation that begin with chapter 6 and go through chapters 19, verse 10. That whole period, it speaks about the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, and they are all judgments of God, the wrath of God upon the earth to those who have rejected his son and has rejected him. And you and I, based on 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, will not see that wrath of God. Because if we had to go through that, then what Jesus did on the cross really was null and void. Do you follow? Does that make sense? And that's important to understand. So the three different views of the rapture are the pre-tribulation rapture view, the mid-tribulation rapture view, and the post-tribulation rapture view. And basically what it is this. We all agree that there's going to be a rapture. All Christians who read the Bible believe and know that the rapture is going to occur. The difference is some believe that it's going to happen at certain times and others don't. So let me just give you an idea, and I'm sorry I don't have a graphic for you because I've got it somewhere, but the idea of a pre-trib rapture is we know this tribulation period is for the world that has rejected Christ. It's a horrible period of time. The Old Testament prophets talked about it being the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called Daniel's 70th week. And it is a time of wrath from God to unbelieving people. Follow? And so some people believe that Jesus raptures the church just prior to that tribulation period. That's called a pre-tribulation rapture. Others believe that somewhere in the middle of this tribulation period, 3.5 years into that tribulation period, is when the church is raptured. We'll look at that view. And then there are others who believe that at the end of that 7-year period, just prior to Christ coming, that the church gets raptured then, and then they somehow come back down again. That doesn't make any sense to me. So those are the three views in a nutshell. And we're going to look at the least likely, in my opinion, and I believe my opinion is shared by many. And so we're going to look at the post-tribulation rapture first. And again, that's the belief that the church will be raptured after the Great Tribulation period. And in other words, that they will have to go through the tribulation period, to somehow be purged of its sin. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of awkward to me based on what the Bible tells me about Jesus' atonement for me on the cross. But anyway, so, and I haven't spent a great deal of time on this view, but perhaps there's confusion with this view. Because the Bible tells us that the Old Testament saints will be raptured at the end of the tribulation period, and more specifically, at the beginning of the millennial reign, because at the end of that tribulation period, Christ comes in his second coming physically to the earth, and we come back with him, the church, and new bodies.
That's the end of our lesson for today, but please join us next time when Pastor Rob continues our study on the rapture of the church. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.